If you follow the liturgy day by day, you know that we are in what Father Francis called the Ashen Triduum, and this is the last day of this little Triduum as the starting section of the Lenten season. And in these first few days, we have been given very important instructions on how to enter into Lent. We've been told about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We've been told about making the basic decision to choose life. Yesterday's theme was all on fasting. And then we get to today, which is not an instruction about what to do, but an example of how to do it, which is very good teaching method. You instruct, and then you let the students try it out, or you show them how it's to be put into practice. Theory and practice. So this is in practice, and the example is, of course, the tax collector, Levi. Well, I call him Levi because that's the American pronunciation. I think Levi, is that right? Is that Filipinas? I don't know. Levi, yeah. Anyway, we usually refer to him as Matthew, the tax collector Matthew. Now, I remember a couple of months ago observing that there are some scriptures that we very seldom hear and some scriptures that we hear a lot. The example I used was the story of the wedding at Cana. It almost never comes up during the liturgy here in the Philippines because it gets substituted by the Feast of Santo Niño when it comes up on Sunday. And then it doesn't very often get read in the liturgy. But the account of the call of Matthew comes up a lot. And when I read it last night, I said, look, again, we have Matthew again. I'm going to look this up. So I looked up when we read this passage. Now, part of the reason why we hear it a lot is because it's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in Luke. And, you know, the daily liturgy uses all three Gospels, of the Synoptic Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The first time we hear the account of the call of the tax collector is on Saturday of the first week of Ordinary Time, so very beginning of Ordinary Time. This year, that was January 15. We read Mark's version of the call of Levi. This day, the Saturday after Ash Wednesday, we hear again the story of the call of Levi, but this time it's Luke's version. And then, in the 13th week of Ordinary Time, we read Matthew's version, Friday of the 13th week. And then on the Feast of St. Matthew, which is September 25, we read Matthew's version again. So four times a year, we're going to hear, or we do hear, about the call of the tax collector. Well, fine. I have no complaint because it's a great account of a sinner being called by Jesus to follow him. And it's interesting that at the very beginning of the year, first week, at the very beginning of Lent today, in the middle of the year, and then closer to the end of the year on the Feast of St. Matthew, we're told again, get up and follow the Lord. Follow me. So Jesus calls us at the beginning of our life. He calls us at the beginning of our struggles. He calls us in the middle of our life. He calls us at the end of life. Follow me. So it's a very good instruction that the liturgy gives us. As I did this research, I ran into the question of why this man seems to have two completely different names, Levi and Matthew. It turns out there's some dispute about that. On one, you know, Bible scholars love to argue. And some of them say that it's actually two different people. Two different tax collectors were called by Jesus. I don't believe that myself. But anyway, because the story is exactly the same. The only difference between Matthew's version and Mark's version and Luke's version is basically the name, Matthew or Levi. But some say, well, there's two. And so when this man Levi was called, he got up and followed, but he wasn't one of the 12. So there were other people who followed Jesus. Remember the 72 and the crowds. And we don't know all their names. So maybe there is someone named Levi in that crowd of disciples. Matthew, of course, is one of the 12. Other people say that perhaps Jesus changed his name. He called Levi and then gave him a new name, Matthew. And that might be a reasonable thing to think of, because Jesus did give people different names. God does sometimes change the name for a good reason. The name Levi in Hebrew means something like taken, or to be taken, or to take. And the name Matthew in Hebrew is gift of God. So you see the difference between taking and giving, or being taken or being given. Maybe that's the reason. Matthew is certainly the name that is more common to us, and Matthew is the name by which we know the apostle and evangelist Matthew. So that's a good thing to reflect on. And then a third thing to notice is that Matthew's gospel is the only one that identifies him as Matthew. Mark and Luke call him Levi. And after the call of Levi, they never mention Levi again. So they imply that when he was a tax collector, he was Levi. And when he was an apostle, he was Matthew. And as if they were trying to be respectful of Matthew, they don't, Mark and Luke don't make it clear that he's the same person. But Matthew himself makes it very obvious. He calls himself Matthew the tax collector. He puts on display that he's a sinner who is called to get up and follow. Well, as I was reflecting on this, I thought, well, maybe it doesn't matter exactly all these details, because the point here is not only that Matthew is called. The point, especially at the beginning of Lent, is that all of us are called. So whether you call him Matthew or Levi isn't that important. Better to put your own name in there. Father Daniel, follow me. Put your own name in there. Jesus says, follow me. And the right response is, get up and follow. You don't need to have everything figured out. You don't have to know all the teachings about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, you can't be perfect. Just get up and follow, and you'll learn as you go along. So that's why it's beautiful that the church gives us this example at the very beginning of Lent, because at the beginning of Lent, we acknowledge we're sinners. What did we say on Ash Wednesday? Repent and believe in the gospel. Start out by acknowledging you're a sinner and start following. And as you follow, Jesus will instruct you in the way to go. It's a very encouraging message for sinners. And it's a great way to start Lent if we admit we're sinners. The danger, of course, is that we might not be that quick to acknowledge that we are sinners. We might take the attitude that is also on display in this story of the call of the tax collector. That is the attitude of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, not only do they not follow, they think that they should not follow because they should not hang around with tax collectors and sinners. So to sit at table with Jesus means to have to sit with tax collectors and sinners. And that doesn't seem like a very good idea when you're full of self-righteousness. So the Pharisees, instead of taking a step forward, they take a step backward. Jesus is less appealing to them because he has all these sinners gathered around him. You know how common that attitude is? This is why, even though people go on Ash Wednesday and get ashes on their forehead, for the rest of Lent, they don't really do anything. Because they say, well, I'm not that bad. I don't have to go to confession. I don't have any big sins. Besides, I don't want to be a hypocrite and go with all those people who claim to be holy and I know they're sinners. Why should I hang around tax collectors and sinners? That kind of self-righteousness is very common in the church among us. We take the attitude that we're not like the sinners. Remember that parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee in the temple? The Pharisee says, I'm not like the rest of men. I'm not like that tax collector. And when he says that, he cuts himself off from his connection with God. His prayer doesn't rise to heaven. It's the tax collector who says, have mercy on me, a sinner. He's the one who is justified. So here's the same contrast on display in this gospel. Matthew, the sinner, the tax collector, Levi, he's the one who gets the benefit of enjoying the banquet with Jesus. He's the one who becomes an inspiration to other tax collectors and sinners to join Jesus. It's true that that Matthew wasn't the only one. Maybe, like I say, if Matthew and Levi are two people, there's two. Well, look at, there's a whole bunch of tax collectors and sinners there. Do you think none of them were inspired to conversion? Some of them probably did become followers of Jesus. And the reason why they did is because they saw him call Matthew. They said, oh, if Matthew, if a guy that, if a sinner like Matthew can be a disciple, well, maybe I can too. There's hope for all sinners. But if we take the attitude, I'm not like that, I'm not a sinner, well, then we don't need a doctor. We don't need a savior. We don't need Lent. We don't need Easter. We don't need religion at all. We're already fine. Be very wary of that attitude, the Pharisaical, self-righteous attitude, because that is one of the worst possible spiritual attitudes to have. It prevents the very beginnings of conversion. It's the condition of the footpath that the seed of the word can't even penetrate. So that's what we have here as we begin Lent. We have been taught a few basics in the last couple of days. We have enough to at least get started. Now the point is, get up and follow. Get up and follow. The scholars point out that this word, get up, or where it says here, he got up and followed him, that word for getting up is related to the word that the Gospels use for the resurrection. Rise up. Remember, when Jesus rose from the dead, they didn't have a word for that because it never happened before. There isn't any Greek word for resurrection or English word or anything because it didn't happen. So they used a word for getting up, and it became the word for rising from the dead. Well, the root of that same word is used here. Matthew got up and followed. So he got up from sin. And to get up from sin is the very power of the resurrection. That we'll see that in after 40 days when we get to Easter. But the power that conquers death is the same power that conquers sin. It's the same power that is in us when we resist temptation or when we leave sin behind. When we start the Lenten journey, we have this grace of resurrection to start out. If you get up from sin, that's resurrection. Just getting up out of bed sometimes is a kind of resurrection. Getting up out of laziness, getting up away from temptation, getting up away from your gadgets, getting up away from gossip, getting up away from whatever sinful possibilities there are. That's resurrection. And that power is made available to us when Jesus says, follow me. So that's what we're doing in Lent. Tomorrow we will enter into the desert. We'll enter into the experience of facing the evil one, the devil, and his temptations. We will learn the way of victory tomorrow. And it's this journey that we'll be following for the next 40 days. We do it with hope, not because we're so good or we have any power in ourselves. We don't. We're sinners. We're sick people. Our hope is in the power of Christ, the doctor, the savior.